We didn't get quite through the message last week, so we're just going to quickly go over what we've learned already and then come to what we didn't have time to see last Lord's Day. So Ezekiel chapter 1, the end of that, verse 28, the end of verse 28 actually, but we'll read the whole verse. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 28 through chapter 2 and verse 7. Ezekiel sees this vision of one high in the heavens, the appearance of fire, brightness all around, verse 28. And like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so is the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice of one speaking. And he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me up on my feet. And I heard him who spoke to me, and he said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this day, for they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words, or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. The Lord bless your word once again to our hearts. Thank you for the precious songs this morning about leading us and going before us and helping us all the way. Lord, we pray that you'll bless the message by your sweet Holy Spirit to our hearts. Encourage us to do as the song says, to fight the good fight of faith, to enter your service as one ready for a fight. The flesh is going to fight against us. The world is going to fight against us. Satan and the legions of hell will fight against us if we openly espouse you to be the one true living God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Even the religious crowd, and especially the religious crowd, will fight against us as we hold your word above the words of religion, above the words of tradition, above the words of religious dogma. We hold faithful to the name of Christ, the blood-stained banner of the gospel, and especially the faithfulness of your word in spite of the unfaithfulness of man. In Jesus' name, amen. So, like we saw last Sunday, God in these passages is calling Ezekiel. He first of all humbles him, brings him low. Then he has him stand on his feet. The Holy Spirit enters into Ezekiel, and he's called into service. He's enlisted as the Lord's soldier. He's brought in as a special servant of Christ. But we don't want to look at this as for Ezekiel only. For every word of God is good, and it's of use to us. And to see that we ourselves are called of God, that we are called to be witnesses of Christ. Jesus says, you shall be witnesses to me. And the word witness, again, is the Greek word martyreo, which means we're living martyrs. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter, yet, but in all this, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And so the scripture often uses the metaphor of a soldier, especially the Apostle Paul. He'll use the metaphor of a soldier, and he'll use the metaphor of an athlete over and over again in his letters, which, of course, were given to him by the Holy Spirit. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure difficulties. Persevere through trials. Persevere when you're hurt, when others, your emotions are frazzled, you're misunderstood, or you feel like you've been attacked. even by others in the church. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. If you look at people, if you look to me, you will be disappointed. And many things, the Bible says, that especially teachers in the Christian church, and many things we all stumble. And it's impossible that there be no offenses until Jesus comes and we're in heaven. And so you've got to keep your eyes on Christ. I remember when Pastor Keith left here, and how many people left coming into church here because he wasn't the pastor anymore. I've seen it over the years so many times that when I was leaving Oregon to come down here and to take care of my ailing mother, had more problems than Carter has liver pills. But when I left, I made sure that the people understood. And I said this in front of the pastor who was taking my place, who happened to be a close friend of mine for 18 years up in Oregon, and pastored another church in a nearby town. And I said, you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. You've got to keep looking to him. I said, you may not love Pastor Sean the way you love me, because I've been with you in the hospitals. I was with you when I married you. I was with you when your moms and dads died. I was there at the funeral. I've been with you when you were sick. Been with you when you had your babies. I said, but Pastor Sean hasn't. You don't have that kind of connection. You don't have that kind of affection yet. But look at him as God's servant. He represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And he preaches Christ. He preaches the word of Christ. I could have chosen no better man to take my place than a brother who loves God with all his heart and wants to serve him every moment of his life. I said, keep your eyes on Jesus. And what happened? Still the same thing. There's like 4 or 5 families with kids and others that I thought cared about the truth more than about personalities. And they left and started going to other churches. And it broke my heart because I thought the truth mattered. And going to these other churches, you're going to hear things that are in error. You're not going to hear about the sovereignty of God. You're not going to learn New Covenant theology. You're not going to be centered on Christ, but you'll be drawn to the law, or you'll be drawn to dispensational prophecy, or you'll be drawn to other things. And it broke my heart because I knew that there, if they had stayed and kept their eyes on Christ, they would continue to learn the word. They would continue to follow the word of God and a closer relationship with Christ. Instead, they went to places that had these programs where basically they dropped their kids off in another part of the building, and the kids are babysitted, and they're learning things that Pastor Sean nor I would have ever taught them. You know, that the law is so important, and the Ten Commandments. And believe me, it's important. But the law of Christ is what we're called to follow. And the law of Christ takes a person who has been born again. It takes somebody who has the Holy Spirit to be able to follow it. Paul could look at the law of Moses and say, I was blameless. While he was persecuting the church, while he was away from Christ, while he was hurting the people of Christ, he said, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was blameless according to the law. Because the law says you shall not commit adultery. But the law of Christ says you're not even to look on a woman to lust after her. And in Jesus' day, the Pharisees were even teaching that it was okay to look at women all you wanted to think about them all you wanted to, just don't touch them. Jesus says the heart of the matter is that would never even get close to happening if you guarded your heart for me. The Bible says in the Old Covenant, the law of Moses, you shall not murder. The New Covenant says, don't even hate your brother without a cause. Don't even say ugly things about your brothers or your sisters or others that reveal that you have murder in your heart, that you wish they didn't exist. And somebody put it this way, when you're driving on the freeway and somebody cuts you off and you use one of your Christian cuss words like I sometimes do, oh, you stinking worm, or you idiot. In other words, I'm wishing they never even existed. That they hadn't got in front of me on my journey and done that stuff. Instead, just thank you, Jesus, that I didn't get in an accident with that rascal. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for watching over me. Because this world is a dangerous place. And it is. You know, it's a miracle that there are not a lot more accidents than there are on the California freeways. It's a miracle. God is really watching over a lot of His children, I'm telling you. And so, we come to the teaching of the Word. We need to make it a part of the spirit, a part of the heart, a part of true Christian love to God, and not just merely an outward semblance of morality. Playing church instead of being real before God. But they left that church anyway. You know, we need to keep our eyes on Christ. And if we keep our eyes on Jesus, if the Bible says, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. We are not to trust in the arm of flesh. We're not to trust in human. You know, I have a lot of trust. But there's only one person that I can trust completely with everything all the time. And his name is Jesus. I can't even trust my own self. Can't. So we're called to keep our eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so as we look here, we see the Lord enlisting Ezekiel to be his soldier. He goes and recruits Ezekiel. He signs him up. He becomes God-issued. He's made to see the king's greatness and his own littleness. He's made to see the glory and majesty of the one he's serving. And he's clothed with humility. He falls before the Lord. And God lifts him up. And so is the way of everyone who is called to serve the Lord. You know, it's amazing to me how many people volunteer for this or that, or in these churches, especially the fundamentals and the Pentecostal churches, they call these men. Do you feel like the Lord's calling you to preach? Come on up to the front. We'll pray for you. You feel like the Lord's doing this? He wants you to be a missionary. You know, I've heard those calls for years back when I was an independent fundamentalist Baptist. But it wasn't a man who called me. It wasn't a sermon that even called me. It was me at 1 o'clock in the morning and God not letting me go to sleep and opening up my Bible to Isaiah 58 where it says, lift up your voice like a trumpet, cry aloud and spare not, show my people their sins. And so I said, Lord, is this you calling me to preach? He said, come serve me. Basically, open your mouth like a trumpet. And so, you know, this thing that God does with us, you say, well, I'm not a servant of the Lord. I'm not a soldier of the Lord. Who said you're not? Jesus said you are. You're His. You're His servant. You know, there was a woman that, and she wanted to, she was just in her 20s, and she wanted to go to one of these faraway lands on the mission field. She wanted, I think it was Africa. And she wanted to, and she just felt this passion to go out and reach the lost souls on the dark continent. But she was the only child of her mother. Her dad had died, and now her mother had fallen sick. She needed somebody to look after her, to care for her. And her mother had become, through this illness, invalid. And so this woman who had these great dreams of serving the Lord far away and preaching His gospel to people who had never heard it before was now stuck in the same home where she grew up to care for her mother who couldn't care for herself. And then she wrote the hymn, Bright in the corner where you are, bright in the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar if you brighten the corner where you are. And now you know the story behind the hymn. You can serve God anywhere. We are called to infiltrate this. You know, there's three words for preach in the New Testament when it comes to the Greek. One is katagelo. It means to herald the gospel. But one is another word. I think it's caruso, but I'm not sure. That means you gossip it. It means like you share the gospel like, hey, did you hear? What? God sent his son to be our savior. We don't have to die in our sins. We can have a relationship with God through his son, Jesus. Did you hear? God sent his son. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. And he gave that sinless life for our sinful lives. In the great exchange, he took all our sins. He died for our sins. He bore the punishment. And 3 days after he died, he rose again to show that it was a perfect sacrifice. To show it was complete. To show that because he lives, we shall live also. That's what that one word for preach means, is to share it like it's, hey, did you hear? Hey, did you know? It's like somebody sharing news with me about somebody who was killed this week locally. And did you hear about that? No. Well, let me tell you. Well, that is like one of the words for preach. And so Ezekiel sees his utter need of God's Spirit, his strength. If he was going to be able to stand, if he was going to be able to serve, then it must be God who would be his strength. He wanted to be upright for the Lord. God called him, stand up and serve me. The Lord's soldier bowed even further. He saw God as his only strength through the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 2 of chapter 2. You know, we can't even pray without the Holy Spirit. We can't understand the Word of God without the Holy Spirit. We can't behave and speak from the heart the truth of God without the help of the Holy Spirit. So he learns that these terms of peace and the rebels of the enemies of God that he's called to go to. Remember, God says to him, I'm sending you to Israel. And he might be thinking, oh, that's good. They're good people. I like a lot of those guys. And the cooking, oh, it's just wonderful. No, God says, I'm sending you to a rebellious people. They're hard-hearted towards me. They're stubborn to me. Though I did all those plagues and all those miracles in Egypt, they quickly turned aside and started worshiping a golden calf at the foot of Mount Sinai. Though I fed them with man in the wilderness, and though I provided quails for them in the wilderness, and though I sent clear, cold water out of a rock for them in the wilderness, yet they turned aside and wouldn't go into the land of promise that I promised to give them, because they were selfish, man-centered. They wouldn't go in because they were afraid. They'd seen my power. They'd seen my Shekinah cloud, giving them shade during the day and providing them light during the night. And yet they didn't believe that I'm strong enough and powerful enough to give them the land of promise. They are rebellious people. They're unbelieving. And so the Lord then not only enlisted, recruited Ezekiel as his soldier, the Lord commissioned him. He says in chapter 2 and verse 3, he said, Son of man, I am sending you. Do you know what the word apostle means, right? One who is sent. That's what it means. Look it up, get your Strong's Concordance out and look up the number. Look up apostle, it says one who is sent. He said, I am sending you to the children of Israel. A rebellious nation. They've rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. He says, for generations, they've spit in my face. For generations, they've shook their fist at me saying, I will not obey. For generations, they've served their idols. And so he commissions Ezekiel to go to them, as Jesus did with his disciples. As my Father has sent me, Jesus said, so send I you. Lord, what kind of welcome did he receive into this world? When the king and the leaders of the Jewish church, the leaders of the Jewish temple found out where Jesus was born in Bethlehem, they went and killed every child 2 years old and under. That's the kind of welcome he received. Here's the king. Let's anoint him. They did. They spat upon his face. Here's the king. Let's crown him. They did, with a crown of thorns, cutting open his scalp. He's the king. Let us praise him. They did. Crucify him. Crucify him. His blood be on us and on our children. Here's the king. Let's have a royal procession. They did, the Via Dolorosa, the path of sorrows, or the way of sorrows, bearing his own cross. Here's the king. Let's give him gifts. They stripped him of his clothes and cast lots for them. You know, there is something man-made in heaven. It happens to be God-made at the same time. And that's the scars on our Lord Jesus. Remember after he'd risen? Thomas, put your finger into the print of the nails. Thrust your hand into my side and see that I'm not your ghost. It's me. And so he's commissioned to go to a rebellious people. Christ commissions us to bring the world terms that are not our own. And yet we see so many people of religion and so many people of Christians that are bringing the world terms that are not from the scriptures, that don't tell others you're a sinner. You're going to perish. You're on your way to hell unless you turn to Christ. You know, so many times I've heard these preachers being interviewed by a reporter, and they beat around the bush and see, you know, the guy that pastors the big church in Houston. And I wanted him to just say, the truth is, it's either Jesus or hell. It's either Jesus taking away your sins or you bearing your sins to hell forever. Because you love yourself, you love your sins. You don't want to bow to God. You don't want to repent. And so, look at verse 4 of chapter 2. For they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says Ezekiel, or this is my opinion, or this is the latest fashion. No, he says, I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. So we have to be faithful to the word. You know, Paul says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Not our opinions, not our hopes, not our dreams, not our feelings. But yet how many people are, especially on the charismatic movement today and the Pentecostalism and the Church of God, they have their visions, they have their dreams, and they share what they call as prophecies. And you can hear them talk about, God says a storm is coming upon Redlands in 2020. That's going to ravish a people. People will be judged and people will die, and the rest will turn to Christ. And they'll say these things that God never told them to say. And so, Christ commissions us to bring his terms, not our own. Not to bring a newspaper to the pulpit or a magazine that I've seen preachers do in the past. The Lord commissions his soldiers then, after delivering his terms, is to trust the king with the results. You know, we can try to reach somebody and pray for somebody, and it doesn't seem like they're going anywhere. Sometimes it seems like they're getting worse, and we get frustrated. Like the results are supposed to belong to us. He does everything the Bible says. In Ecclesiastes, he does everything beautiful in his time. You know, when God is ready, if God is willing, if that's his sovereign will and it will bring him glory, he will do it when he's ready. We are to trust the results with him. Verse 5. As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. In other words, he's telling Ezekiel, don't worry whether they repent or they don't repent. You trust me with the results. You deliver my terms and let me take care of it. They will know, though, that my messenger has been among them. And so, as we move on here, we see also in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 2, the Lord encouraging his soldier, the Lord encouraging his servant. The Lord's not going to just send you into battle without encouragement. There's so much encouragement in the Bible. There's so much strength in the Bible, so much hope in the Bible. There's so much of a pep talk in the Bible, where the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the key word is through Christ. I can do all things that please God, that are according to his will, through Christ who strengthens and strengthens and strengthens me. And again, the Bible says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. You are more than conquerors through him that loved you. For my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you need not fear any evil, for he is with you. And Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I will never leave you nor forsake you, he promised. And so much encouragement. But look at what he says to Ezekiel in verse 6. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks. Though they are a rebellious house, you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. He says, you remember who sent you. You remember who loves you. You remember who died for you. It was God himself. It was me. Don't be afraid. What is that? Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so let man do what he will. You trust God with the results. And he encourages, like Joshua did. You know, Joshua's getting ready to go into the land of promise. He's facing Jericho. And God says, be of good courage. Fear not, for I'm with you. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. And I will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. And battle after battle, Israel was victorious and didn't even lose one soldier until this little town called Ai, where they got too big for their own britches and God taught them a lesson. I remember when God gave his pep talk to Jeremiah, who was among the poor people there in Jerusalem, who was beaten, who was put down deep in a well and in lowest parts of dungeons in Israel for serving the Lord. What did God say to him? Jeremiah 1:17, he starts off by encouraging him to the battle. He says, prepare yourself and arise and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Remember, one person, one man, one woman, plus God, is a majority in any situation. All the power that created the universe out of nothing is behind you. And it's gone before you and is walking beside you. And so God encourages Ezekiel with this. And then he gives him his own courage. Look at chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. God gives Ezekiel his own courage. Chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Behold, God says to Ezekiel, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. He says, I've made you. I'm with you. I equip you. I empower you. The king arms and emboldens and familiarizes his servants with the weapon of our warfare. And what is the weapon of our warfare? Paul, in his description of the Christian life, says the helmet of salvation and so on. But then he says, you know, you can go out in the field with all the armor you want and just get beaten down and worn out. It's not until you take out the offensive weapon. Paul mentions all these defensive things, the helmet, the breastplate, the greaves. And then he mentions, above all this, he says, above all this, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You can stand there in your armor all day and just get hacked away at, get worn out. But when you take up the Word of God, when you take up the sword of the Spirit, that is the power of God unto salvation. That is what God uses, is His Word. So the more familiar we are with the Word, the better equipped we are. We had, in our church in Oregon many years ago, we had the foremost authority on Jehovah's Witness and how to witness to them, how to reach out to them. He had been a Jehovah's Witness for 30 years. And he told us how he came to be converted and what it was that Christians said to him that made him stay awake at night. What it was is that brought him to his knees before Christ and away from false religion. And so people were asking him all these questions after he would give a lecture. Then all these questions would come out. But the one thing that he drove home, he says, you know, you have a lot of questions. He says, you're asking about how to do this. What if they do that? What if they bring up this verse? He said, what you need to do is be familiar with the Word of God. Get greatly acquainted with the Word of God. Learn the Word of God. He says, for everything that they teach that's false, you have the truth. And he said, the best way to counter the false is with the true. He said, you'll never lose an argument with a Jehovah's Witness if your answer is the Word of God, if your answer is Scripture. They don't know what to do with it. They'll try to twist it. They'll try to turn it. They'll try to leave the subject. They'll try to say, I'll answer that later, and then go on with their false religion. He says, know the Word of God. And so he says this to Ezekiel in chapter 2, verse 8. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. Then he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside. Written on it were lamentations and mournings and woe. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly and feed your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey and sweetness. Similar thing happened with Jeremiah. He said to God, your words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me. The joy and rejoicing of my heart is sweeter than honey, David says in Psalm 19. And so, be familiar with the Word of Christ. Be familiar with the Word of God. Verse 10, moreover, he said to me, son of man, receive into your heart my words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears. And what is that? The verse 11 as well. And go get to the captives, to the children of your people, and speak to them, and tell them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or whether they refuse. So that is the sword that we take up, is the Word of Christ. The king himself identifies himself with us. That's chapter 3, verse 4 through 7. He identifies, when I send Ezekiel, I'm sending my word. I'm sending as though it were me going instead. And that's what a good ambassador is. That's what a good servant is. When he's sent on a mission, he remembers, I am not here of my own volition, my own accord. I'm here for him. I'm here for the king. Then lastly, as we close, the Lord uplifts his servants. The Lord uplifts his soldiers. The Spirit of the Lord helps us in so many ways, but we find him especially faithful in times of trouble, times of crisis, times of danger, times of trial. When we don't have anywhere else to go, when we can't trust to our own means, when we don't have any resources available for ourselves. So look at verse 12 of chapter 3. Then the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, lifted me up, and I heard behind me a great thunderous voice. Blessed is the glory of the Lord from his place. And so he uplifts us. He's glorified in us. When we serve him, no matter if we have the right words or not, if we have memorized the Bible or not, but we're familiar with its teaching, we know what it says and what it doesn't say, then God can be glorified. Hearing the thunder of your king's artillery and air force will encourage you. Go forward, be strong and of good courage, for I am with you wherever you go. I'll be magnified by my wrath or by my merciful terms of peace. Either way, you're my servant. You represent me and I'll lift you up. You remember that movie Saving Private Ryan, my stepdad, who joined George Patton when his campaign began in Africa against Rommel and the German Nazi tanks, the Panzers and so on there in Africa. And he saw a lot of things that he would never tell me stories. He refused to tell me any of the stories of what went on because of all the blood he saw. But he was with General Patton, and when they crossed the Rhine River outside of Berlin, and he refused to watch the movie. He started to see the first couple minutes of it and couldn't watch it anymore. He had seen so much. But you know, if my dad had had the Lord Jesus Christ with him, if he had known Christ as his Savior, I'm thinking, there's so much that he could have seen that the Lord would have taught him. That the Lord, in spite of all the... What a blessing he could have been to be able to tell people who are afraid how not to be afraid. The gospel is the answer. Knowing that your soul is headed to heaven is the answer. Sure, you might get a little nervous. Sure, you might get a little afraid. But it only drives you closer to the one who's your strength and your comfort when you're a believer. And the blessing he could have been had he known Christ back then. Just think of us if we had been in such a time as that. Bombs exploding. You know, he did tell me one story, and that is that the closer they got to Berlin, he said, the younger the German soldiers were. He said, we were taking prisoners of war out of 12 and 13-year-old children that the Nazis were sending out to try to kill us. And so, let us move on. I'll have to go quickly now. Verses 12 through 14 of chapter 3, we see the Spirit of the Lord lifts up his soldiers. The king assists his soldiers with angelic watch care and companionship in verse 13. I also have heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels behind them, and a great thunderous noise. What a, you know, if you had that with you, would you ever be afraid? And Ezekiel hears the sound of angels around him, these heavenly beings. The king will let his soldiers understand parts and great parts of the strategies of his sovereign battle plan, the movements of his chariots of war, verse 13 again. And then remember, these wheels are like the chariots of God, and the chariots were used in battle. And the king shows his soldier that his powerful, strong hand is with them and is more than able to bear them up amidst the bitterness or the heat of the battle. Verse 14. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. And so the king, with his strong, powerful hand and by his spirit, is more than able to bear us up in the bitterness and the heat of any battle. The application quickly is this. Have you enlisted into the king's service? Have you said to the Lord, Lord, I don't know that much. I'm nothing without you. Lord, I'm not familiar with all the things about you, or preaching, or singing, or teaching a Sunday school class, or anything like that. But Lord, I'm yours. All I have is yours. And I give you myself. Here I am, Lord. If you want to use me, help me, guide me. Show me how you want to use me. And Lord, by your grace, by your strength, by your spirit, by your watch care, Lord, I'll let you use me wherever you want, whenever you want, to say what you want, to do what you want. By your grace and strength, Lord, here am I. Send me. Secondly, each of us has received his commission. Not one of us is exempt. God said to his followers, the Lord God the Son said to his followers, go into all the rebellious world around you and offer every creature my terms of peace. In other words, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. If they believe, they will be saved. If not, they shall be damned. Thirdly, if you will surrender to Christ and be his soldier, it will take courage. You can't do that without the devil taking notice. You can't do that without the flesh trying to rise up in its pride, that old nature saying, well, we'll see. I'll do what I want. Proverbs 28 verse 1 says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. We need to be like the Marines when they used to advertise, we're looking for a few good men. Amen. It takes courage. If you're going to follow Christ, you're going against the grain of the world. Any dead fish can flow along with the stream, but it takes a live one to swim against it. And you won't be popular. The truth is not popular in our culture. Fourthly, if you want to be an effective devil killer, if you want to be an effective Satan fighter, you must become familiar with the sword of the Spirit. Remember, Jesus went out into the wilderness after he was baptized to be tempted by the devil. Satan came to him, testing him. Jesus used the scripture every time to refute Satan, defeat him, and send him off running. The scripture. Jesus quoted the Bible. Lastly, if you will serve the Lord, he will lift you up amidst all the battle. He shall set me high upon a rock, David said, who was a man of war, one of the greatest warriors ever in history. He said, he shall set me high upon a rock. My head shall be lifted up above all my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Amen. David was empowered by Christ in such a way. In Psalm 27, which is one of my favorite psalms, he could say when surrounded by thousands of enemies, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Yea, though 10,000 encamp all around me, in this I will be confident. I will trust in the Lord and sleep, he would say in such circumstances. Amen. God, give us the grace and courage to be what we should be as soldiers for Christ. By empowering us, giving us strength like he did Ezekiel, lifting him up by his spirit, encouraging him with his promises, and being real about it. He said, it's not going to be wine and roses. It's going to be a battle, Ezekiel. Thorns and briars and scorpions, and people looking at you the wrong way, saying bad things about you. But don't worry, I'm with you. Father, please bless now. Help us to yield ourselves, not just once in our lives, but every day, to be used by you, however you wish. Let our eyes be opened for the opportunities, and give us the wisdom and the grace and the courage to serve you, to speak up for you, to do things for you. In Jesus' name, amen.